Blog Talk Radio.
Django!
Django, have you always been alone?
Django!
Django, have you never loved again? Love will live on.
My dear listeners, it is I, William Powell, otherwise known as the King of DC Media, otherwise known as Mr. Ubiquitous, glad to have you all tuning back into this marvelous show. Let me remind you to check out my wonderful column, DC Actors Examiner. There are lots of fantastic articles out there all about acting, yes indeed, yes indeed. And it is most easily found by Googling DC Actors Examiner. Now, tonight, we have on the show, returning for his second time as guest, filmmaker extraordinaire Mark Anthony Del Negro, the director of the upcoming film, The Undead, which is all about zombies. And matter of fact, you know, it's billed as a zombie horror throwback film. And the film is currently in the midst of a Indiegogo fundraising campaign. So let me bring on Mark. Hey, Mark.
How are you, William?
Tonight?
How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for coming back on, man. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, thank you. I'm the producer of The Undead. Dan Brownlee is the director, so we need to correct that. I don't want to get in any trouble with him, so.
Oh, okay. My mistake. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Let's just plug right in. So now, man, give me an update on what you've done since your last visit on the show, man.
Well, I really wouldn't know where to start. It's been pretty busy. That was when was that? That was
back in May.
Maybe. Yeah, wow, yeah, 3 months.
Yeah, about 3 months ago.
Yeah, I'll tell you, since back in May, that was actually before the Maryland Film Festival, before I was down your way, so... Yeah, a lot's happened since then. We've attached some talent, and as you know, we've had the Indiegogo get up and running, and the Indiegogo is it's currently doing very well. We've raised about I think it's 35% of our funded goal. We officially raised $3,500 about an hour ago. We were over $4,000. However, there was a glitch in Indiegogo. They actually just sent me an email saying there is a minor glitch in their system and they have to review everything that was donated within that period of time. And we have $485 under pending review, but it looks like those were our perks because the perks fell within our parameters of the guidelines. For instance, if we received the donation for $18 and we did not have an $18 perk, then, you know, I would think, okay, that one probably wasn't intended for us. But since it actually says the allotted amount of number which we have for our perks, it's actually listed of the perk that we have, like the Undead Army, stuff like that. It looks legit. It's just, a thing that has to be looked through because I guess that there was some system problem with Indiegogo tonight for a good hour.
Oh, okay.
Or so. And just so happens that within that hour time frame, we received five donations within the amount of $485. So go figure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you were saying that Indiegogo is pretty much, you're using that really kind of to build buzz, not so much to raise the money.
Yeah, pretty much. And also, as you remember back in May, we are going to donate a portion of it to the Boston One Fund. And it is, you know, pretty much to, you know, get the buzz out there. We're selling T-shirts, we're selling DVDs, and the biggest thing in terms of film is, you know, building your fan base. So the you know, social media is very powerful these days. We have a very powerful Twitter account. We're approaching 1,500 followers.
Okay.
We just surpassed 1,200 likes on Facebook, and then the Indiegogo campaign, and then all the other, you know, the online blog interviews I've been doing, such as this, and then the other digital magazine, some other media. I'm going to be through. One reason why I know that one of those donations will go through the pending cycle is it's actually somebody that we recently met on Twitter. They own a thing called Invest in Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically kind of like zombie fanatics, how kind of like how the Star Wars fans have that Star Wars Legion when they go to those Star Wars conventions.
Yeah, the 501st Legion.
Yeah, exactly. And these people Invest in Zombies want to have me do an interview, and they're one of the
uh-huh.
people who made the donation to his pending. So we know that donation was intended for us, and it wasn't intended for, you know, an anime film or something like that. So that one, when I read that, I said, okay, that one is gonna most likely, you know, go, you know, have the pending stamp waved off of it. So
right, man, you excite me, man. You make me want to produce a movie. It's just so brilliant the way you just thought this thing through.
Well, hey, come on aboard. Well, we'd love to have you.
yeah, man. Because the way you're just so brilliant, the way you've like you're building the social media and the whole deal, man. It's like exciting stuff.
Well, that's what you need to do. I have several friends in filmmaking, and this is something I've always wanted to do, and I'm so happy. I feel blessed I'm finally doing it. Like the past 10 months, you know, I've been doing it. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I hated the job I had in corporate America. I mean, as every day when I would have to drive into work, I was just like, oh, my God, another day. And then I'd get into the office, I'd look at the clock, and I'd say to myself, oh, my God, only 2 hours have gone by. What the hell?
Oh, my God.
And then now it's weird. Like, now I'll go to bed. Like, for, like, the past 10 months or so, I'll go to bed around 2 in the morning, and I'll wake up at 7, and from, like, 7 in the morning until 2 in the morning, I'll be working on this film, and it's amazing. I get like seven in the morning. We'll go around. I'll do my routine, you know, having breakfast, exercising, and before I know it, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it doesn't even seem like, you know, 2 hours went by, and it's just one of those things. I mean, where I get lost in it. I just love doing it.
Yeah, man. So you're still looking for individual investors, right?
Yes, we are. In terms of the Indiegogo campaign, you cannot purchase it off of Indiegogo because it's
right.
currently not within regulations to, I guess, advertise equity exchange to the masses. You know, you can't do it to, you know, basically you have to have like a license with the FCC, with like TD Ameritrade and stuff like that. They can do it. However, you can sell the equitable shares to, say, someone like you in an email and a mailing, et cetera, to where you could buy into it to where it's like a legitimate business. You just can't do it online to the masses. You can't, you know, spread out, you know, you can't shoot out a business proposal to a million people, so to say. I think
right
now we're reaching like, oh, I think it's 35,000 people per month. And not only that, we're also going to be putting in a banner with Fangoria on their website, and that'll be about 3 million people per month who will see stuff on. And that's a big number, 3 million. I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, that's who will actually see our campaign, who will see some of the literature on the undead, etc. So in terms of asking, you know, answering your question in terms of the equitable shares to own 1% of film's profits, and it's a good thing. It's pretty much a, I guess, a ground-level investment of $500 per share. And, you know, you can contact me via email, or you can, contact me on Facebook. And the beauty of it is, imagine if you could have invested, you know, a minimum amount like this, say, in something like the Blair Witch Project a few years ago, or, you know, Paranormal Activity a few years ago, because their budgets are very similar to the ones that we're going to have, and they did quite well. Now, to say that we're going to capture, you know, the lightning that Ed Sanchez or Oren Peli captured, it's a very bold statement. However, if we can just, you know, do maybe a tenth or a quarter of what they accomplished, you know,
we're doing
pretty damn good. And, you know, for the amount of, you know, an expensive designer handbag or a new set of golf clubs, you can own 1% of a movie share to where the sky can be the limit. And as I believe I told you in some private conversation, how Massachusetts offers tax incentives, and then there's other tax incentives with the IRS, how you can write certain things with film off.
Right.
That $500, I mean, it's going after 2014 tax season, that it'll really turn into, like, say, like a $150 to a $200 investment, because you'll be getting a return from the taxes and from the film credit incentives to kind of hedge against that principal investment.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty smart. And what's the release date again?
We're looking for the spring of 2014.
Oh, okay, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner. And you know, I'd love to get it out sooner, but I mean, you know, you always have the scheduling conflicts, etc. And then we kind of fell into kind of a another good serendipity. We may have the chance to add a big name in horror, a name that you would recognize, a name that is actually recognized in the mainstream. I can't say anything right now because things are still pending. It's an LA-based actor who's done a lot of films, and you know, it's going to revolve around if this individual can do it, where the release date is. If we can't land this individual, then it would probably be early. It'd probably be early spring. If we do land this individual, it'd be later spring, because you typically have to book this individual on a 90-day notice, and it would be worth it. It would be worth it. To tell you the truth, if he told me, if his representation told me that it was 6 months to a year that he'd have to book this guy, I would push the production back for that, because with this individual involved in this type of project, there'd be no doubt in my mind that we would create a major fan base.
So this,
just
this
not
would be
the thousands. Sorry, Bill. Go right ahead.
This would be your version of Harvey Keitel, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, if you're comparing me to Tarantino.
Yeah.
But, but no, this was a just, you know, it's just amazing when you get the buzz going. You'd be surprised at the people that come out of the woodwork when you get buzz going and things are going good. I mean, like I told you before, and I think that you just know this through life. I mean, you know, when times are down, you know who your true friends are. And then when, you know, stuff just, you know, explodes, I mean, you find out that you have all these relatives that you never knew about, and, you know, you get all these weird emails, you get all these weird phone calls. I mean, It's weird. Another thing, one of our associate producers, Aaron LaFond, he went down to the Maryland Film Festival with me. I guess he was just on like a blog or something. He's like a big blogger, and he does like a lot of online social media stuff. So some social media things that I don't even know about. And I can't remember what he was talking about. He's like, yeah, I went down to the Maryland Film Festival, the film festival. My friend Mark Del Negro and I guess someone else in that chat room or whatever he was in goes, oh yeah, Mark Del Negro, the guy who's doing The Undead. And Aaron just said, was like, oh my God. And it got back to me. I was like, well, you know, I guess you're surprised. You know, you send out, you know, a thing on Facebook that reaches 10,000 people, or, you know, you go on a radio show, or you release something in a magazine, you'll be surprised what happens, you know. So
yeah,
it's good. I mean, I'm not going to complain. I want to build the fan base, and I want people to know that we're creating an excellent product for them.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the film itself. Will the film be special effects heavy?
I'd say yes and no. First of all, there will be no CGI, because I don't believe in CGI. And for those listeners who aren't familiar with what CGI stands for, it's an acronym for computer-generated images. So basically, if you don't have, say, $1 million, like ILM,
Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah, the George, yeah, Industrial Light and Magic, yeah.
George Lucas.
If you can't afford that, which was owned by George Lucas, chances are it's going to look kind of, you know, cheesy. So I'm more of a practical effects guy, and in terms of the practical effects, in terms of the zombies, like I mentioned on the Indiegogo campaign, we're going to have the zombies is kind of be like a diary of decay, to where you're going to see like the evolution of zombies. You're going to see them when they're first, you know, contaminated, to where they're just bleeding through their orifices and their skin's blistered. And that can be a simple makeup job that anyone who did a professional makeup FX course to you know, in New York or Los Angeles. But then, as you know, the time progresses, you're going to get more so the Walking Dead like zombies, where, you know, you're going to need a silicone mask. And we're currently working with an individual named Norman Brin. I met him down on the Yale University campus about a month ago. He's actually very heralded. He's actually not Emmy nominated for Days of Our Lives, Saturday Night Live. He actually invented the caveman lawyer, which Phil Hartman made famous. And he also worked on the cult classic Cloverfield. And another film, it was one of his first films, was Starman with Jeff Bridges. So he's been around the block. He knows his stuff, and we're lucky to have him. So, you know, we are going to use the practical effects with him in terms of the zombies and making them look good. You know, after, you know, their progression of getting really bad. In terms of other practical effects, we have in other movies, especially The Walking Dead, you see certain, you know, animals aren't affected. So you'll see animals just walking around as if it's, you know, like nothing happened. They don't miss a beat. And The Undead, we did not do that. We pretty much made everyone in the area someone of a victim, including the animals. Like, it's a Chernobyl-type incident. And I remember it was kind of ironic. I think it was just yesterday I was watching. It was a 60-minute special. I guess 60 Minutes has the monthly specials on demand, and they were talking about Chernobyl, and they were saying that it's going to be another 20,000 years before humans can inhabit that that place again. And so animals are affected. So we're, if you look at the character concepts of what we have on social media, we actually have what I like to call the real star of the show, a zombie bear. And we're going to kind of go do a stop-motion puppet with him type gig, kind of like how you see with the Ray Harryhausen. We're going to do some good throwback stuff, you know, Ray Harryhausen of, you know, the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, the Clash of the Titans, all that stuff. So we're going to go for that look. Like, I don't like CGI. I'm another individual who I was working with preliminary when I first came up with the zombie bear. They were talking more so of a bear costume in different ways, how you could, you know, kind of trick it with the lighting and stuff. But I just didn't like a bear costume. When I found out about the stop motion puppets, and when I found out how Harryhausen, you know, the legend, you know, pretty much of special effects, who guys like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg looked up to when they were kids, because Harryhausen stuff was mainly in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and now it's actually kind of, you know, the top guy is now Mike Elizalde from Spectral Motion, and he's also, you know, a send-off of Harryhausen. And when I found out about that, when I found out how I loved Clash of the Titans watching with my brother when I was a little kid, I think that I was only like maybe 4 or 5 years old when it came out, I said, you know what? We're gonna make our zombie bear like that. I don't want a costume. I don't want CGI. I want a nice stop motion puppet, because those things look cool if you do them right. So that's what we're gonna go with there. And then so the silicone zombies, the zombie bear. I'd say that's about it for the special effects. And then in terms of sound, we're gonna have some good sound to make it eerie, and we're gonna have some. We try to put in a good score as well. I don't know anything about that, but I have faith in my guy Brandon Densley, who did the trailer very well. He's Dolby Surround Sound certified and all that on the West Coast, that Crash film. So I was very happy with the sound that he did for the trailer, and I'm confident that he's going to deliver us a great product for the finished film.
Very good. Hey, so Mark, we're coming up on about 6 minutes left here. So let's talk about a hypothetical here. So if I'm an actor, how do I best audition for Mark Anthony Del Negro?
Well, that's a tough question. The first thing that I normally look for is if the person's a team player. As I told you before, I'm from New England, so we like versatile people. Kind of like when you grow up watching Troy Brown play defensive back and wide receiver, you kind of expect that in the workplace. So I'd say a guy who's versatile, and or a woman, an actor or an actress who's versatile, who's a team player, who puts the project before themselves. One of the things that I don't necessarily like is when you're so a hired gun to where I'm just going to show up, I'm going to get my paycheck, and then that's it. I've never, you know, with the background I've had through the military and, you know, corporate America, you know, I believe in team players. So the way how I look at it is, in terms of talent, everyone has a certain level of talent, and it's a level playing field. If, you know, someone would present themselves to come off as a trouble, like for instance, one time I was talking to an actress, and she said to me, "Well, okay, I'll read the script later on, because right now I'm kind of under the influence." That's a nice way of putting it. So I immediately scratched her off. So I was thinking, okay, this is before the girl even reads the script. You know, imagine what she's going to be like when we get her on set. So, no, she's out of the picture. And then, you know, I just So I mean, it's basically, you know, being a response. You know, I mean, if you have the talent, I mean, that's the first thing, obviously. But then, it's being responsible. It's being a team player. And if if you're responsible and you're a team player, there'll always be a position for you. You know, in one of my films, you know, maybe you wouldn't get that you know, a particular part that you auditioned for. However, if we like you and we see that you have other attributes that can contribute to the overall project, we're going to keep you and we're going to find a way of displaying your talents.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to, just finding those team players. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, putting it all together. So we've got about, I guess, about 3.5 minutes. So I want you to just put out there a couple things. One thing would be, what do you think the underlying message of your film is? And then just wrap up with anything else you want your fans to know.
I'd say the underlying message, it is kind of, say, like a contamination message type of thing, to where the zombies are kind of like an existential crisis type thing, to where, you know, certain people, you know, whether it's, you know, you get corrupted. They're kind of, you know, an analogy or a metaphor of being corrupted. Like, you know, you have the power plant. The power plant, you know, how it's up on top of the mountain, how it hovers over, you know, people down in the valley. You know, they're dictating everything up top, kind of like in real life, where we all have that thing that dictates us, whether it be, you know, a spouse, a past relationship, monetary problems. You all have that one vice or that one thing that holds
right
over your head. And then, you know, an occurrence happens, it just all comes down at you. And just like, you know, the analogy where, you know, all the plant workers are up on top of the mountain, they get contaminated, and sure enough, they come down the mountain, they confront you in the valley, and you need to confront your fears, you need to fight your fears. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in the synopsis, they have one choice. They have no choice but to make a stand and fight off the undead. And that's what
right
it comes down to in life. No matter what you face, you have to make a stand, and you have to say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to fight for what I want. And I think that would be, you know, the unparalleled message to it.
Okay. All right, so we're just about out of time. But, Mark, you know, man, it was great to have you on the show again, man. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you on again as, you know, this progresses. You know, hopefully you'll hit your fundraising goal. And we're definitely, man, we just can't wait for the spring when it comes out.
I can't wait either, William.
All right, man.
All right, you
well,
take
hey,
care.
Well, thanks
again. And what, who are you? Are you a Ravens fan or a Redskins fan?
Ravens, man. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me. Oh, darn. Well, all right. Well, hope good luck to all the good teams. And football is coming up, so I'd like to wish every team the best of luck this year. It's always exciting for a new NFL season.
Yeah, man. That's very generous of you.
All right. Talk to you later, William.
Okay, man. Have a good night.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let me leave you with this quote from Muhammad Ali. He was quoted as saying, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion." Good night.